The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning Glory, America, to you. And I'm not there. I'm taking this week off after a long election year. I'm finally taking a week off to relocate to the West Coast. But Kurt Schlichter is back early in the morning on the West Coast. He's got a brand new book and he has many opinions. He's a shy, retiring type, so it takes a lot to coax him into the studio. Thank you, Colonel Kurt, for showing up, and take it away.
Thank you, Hugh Hewitt. Yes, I am Kurt Schlichter. I am a senior columnist for townhall.com. You can read me every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I am the author of the exciting new novel, Crisis, a conservative action thriller for the conservative you love and the liberal who needs some truth. I'm also a retired United States Army colonel and a noted trial lawyer, and I am so excited to be here talking about Baker Mayfield for the next 3 hours. I don't know who Baker Mayfield is, but apparently he's very important to Hugh Hewitt.
And he lost yesterday.
And what?
And he lost last night.
I thought the World Series was done.
It is.
Okay. And
Baker Mayfield plays the pointy ball game, not the round ball, the round ball game.
What? The one with pucks?
No, that's the one on ice.
I don't.
Except it's usually almost on ice in Cleveland.
Well, look, isn't that the one that changed the name of its team? It's from the Cleveland Indians to the blank Indians because they didn't want to mention Cleveland. I was born in Cincinnati, folks, so there's a little vibe there.
That's also the little round ball game.
Is that?
That's not the pointy ball
that's
game.
Cricket?
No, it's different.
Okay. All right. I think we've
exhausted sports.
I think we've exhausted. I think we have. Got the well has got dry on sports ball talk. Let's talk about something. Something else. There's a lot of stuff going on. First of all, Attorney General Bill Barr is leaving office on the 23rd. And I think he's in general, I think he's been one of the better appointments. What we've had when Donald Trump came into office, here's the thing. Unlike the Bushes, he did not have this giant Rolodex. Now, if you don't know what a Rolodex is, you're not old like me. On the day before Christmas, I shall turn 56. So I remember the age of the Rolodex. Now it's the age of what's in my iPhone contact list. But the Bushes came in with a big Rolodex of people and were able to fill out the staff with folks who had done this before. One of Donald Trump's biggest challenges was doing that. He did not bring in all great people. And we could go down the list. And, of course, Jeff Sessions turned into a giant car wreck. And like Hugh, I thought he was a brainstorm at the beginning. I thought that was a great choice. And, boy, he just went. But I think Bill Barr was a great choice. Like Robert C. O'Brien, very good friend of the show, friend of mine. I think he's been the best national security advisor in decades, if not ever. Why is that? I hardly ever hear about him. Yes, you hardly hear about him. But Bill Barr is leaving, and I wonder why. And I'm thinking, you know, remember when you were in college? I have hazy memories of UC San Diego. I used to, sometimes I would get annoyed by my landlord, and I would leave, you know, tins of cat food behind the radiator or like a fish behind the fridge. I didn't like them. Some to kind of leave like a little a Swalwellian pungency in the air. And I think we may see the president's acting attorney general do that with a Hunter Biden special counsel.
Did you just make Eric Swalwell an adjective?
Yes. Swalwellian pungency, which is also the name of my a cappella punk band. Swalwellian pungency. It's all guest host. I've got Bob Franz on bass and Mark Davis is drums. I'm lead guitar, singer, songwriter, producer. So anyway, we're going to move on from that. Anyway, I think it is much more likely that we will see a special prosecutor on the Hunter Biden stuff. Because it'd be very difficult to fire a special prosecutor. And we know John Durham, who's been investigating some of the FISA stuff, some of the Russiagate insanity. He has special prosecutor or special counsel, status. So it's going to be very hard to fire him. Now, will that stop Joe Biden's attorney general from doing it? No, because we don't have a media to point it out and say, well, you can't do that. We have a media to cheerlead whatever the liberals want. Liberals were very happy last week when the Supreme Court turned down the Texas lawsuit brought by Ken Paxton of Texas, basically saying, hey, we're Texas. We're really upset about how these other states approached the election. I'm upset, too. I actually went and worked for the president in Nevada. I caught COVID doing so. I have coughed up a lung in support of election integrity. Now, Kurt, are you saying that irregularities change the election? Well, I will say that. I think they do. I saw evidence. I saw systemic problems. I think this election was essentially unfair. That and a dollar will get you a dollar, unless I can prove it in court. Now, yesterday, the Electoral College did its kind of symbolic vote and picked President-elect asterisk. And here's the fact. This seems to be winding down. Now, will I say that any future lawsuit, any continuing lawsuit, and remember, not all of these lawsuits are dismissed. Many of them will go on and be able to address problems with the election, some of which based on incompetence, others based on actual malice. This will go on, but it is overwhelmingly likely. It's 2020. I'm not saying there is no chance because, holy cow, it's 2020, folks. Look, Joe asterisk is likely to be inaugurated president. Overwhelmingly likely. It's not that I think he should. Oh, my gosh. Kurt's giving in. I never give in. I assess. I am a United States Army colonel. I am not trained to work on emotion. I am not trained to see what I want. When I am a trial lawyer, which I am, and a noted one, I try and assess things realistically, and our chances are vanishingly small. It is very hard to win an election challenge, much less multiple election challenges in multiple venues where you're calling upon judges to essentially choose the winner of an election. Now, remember, none of this applies if it's liberals. A liberal court and a liberal candidate saying, I want X. Because I have no doubt, none, that a liberal Supreme Court would have gone in favor of, New York suing Texas to get President Asterisk in and his wife, the doctor. None at all. But that doesn't matter. See, here's the problem for us as conservatives. We try really hard to avoid judicial activists, judges who act on their own prerogatives rather than what they see as the law. And the result of that is we have judges that don't act on their own prerogatives and act on as they see the law. Now, I hear people out there going, well, Kurt, we have no Supreme Court. Everything is gone. We're doomed. We are not doomed. Look, okay. All right. Sit down. Pour yourself a nice cup of tea. Here's how this goes. First of all, let's assess calmly, coolly, ruthlessly, but dispassionately. If you think, now Clarence Thomas and Judge Alito said, we should hear the case, right? And then dismiss it. It's 9-0 against this case on the merit. If you think Clarence Thomas has suddenly learned to love the guy who orchestrated the high-tech lynching, remember, Joe Biden was the circus master at that disgusting hearing for his for Judge Thomas's confirmation. Well, that's just crazy talk. Guys, we have to plan ahead. We have to plan for all contingencies. And an important contingency is dealing with President Asterisk. How do we do that? Step one, win in Georgia. Well, Kurt, are you saying we just give up? No. Why would we give up? In the United States, we address our problems through the court system. We don't always win. When a client comes in and says, Kurt, I want to go to the justice system, my first response is, remember, in justice system, the system is more important than the justice part. Are we defeated? No. Are we going to lose? No. Are we going to win? In the long run, we will. And we got a long run here today. We got 3 hours on the Hugh Hewitt radio program. I'm guest host Kurt Schlichter. Stick around.
Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.
We're back on the Hugh Hewitt radio program. I'm Kurt Schlichter, your guest host, senior columnist at Town Hall, retired Army colonel, author of the book Crisis, which you should get. What else am I? Oh, yeah, no, trial lawyer. And I got to tell you, I specifically requested evil Christmas music. You know, this happy, friendly. This is not evil enough. I like transgressive Yuletide songs. So we'll see what we can do about that. I don't know if there's any evil Christmas music out there. Please tweet at me at Kurt Schlichter. I will occasionally look at as I helm this this Titanic of a radio show for the next 3 hours from Southern California's Relief Factor studio as Hugh Hewitt takes some well-deserved time off in this, this special time of year. And it is a special time of the year. And it's a special time of the year that, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on that we're not happy about. There's no, you know, let's not fool ourselves. Some of it is very, very annoying that's going on. But because things are annoying, because things aren't great, maybe we need to look outward instead of inward. Maybe we need to look to other people. And that's why the Angel Tree campaign is so, so important. I want to tell you a story of a little girl named Jana. When Jana was just 8 years old, her stepfather got sent to prison. That man was her world. It completely shattered her young life. Her story could have ended tragically. But about a year later, a nearby church called to invite her to an Angel Tree Christmas party. At the party, Jana received a personal note from her stepfather. She still has it, by the way. And she remembers receiving a basketball, a journal, a beautiful sweater, and a Bible. And the gifts didn't say they were from prison fellowship. They said they were from her stepfather. She adds, I was so excited because I knew it was from my stepfather. I didn't think people realized the huge impact they're making. The small donation they make can literally change the life of a kid like me. Now, with Christmas only a week from this Friday, good Lord, it's getting close. It's still in your power to bless a child just like Jana. Please go to HughHewitt.com, click on the Angel Tree banner. A $22 gift blesses a prisoner's child with a personal note from mom or dad in prison. Specially selected gifts, brand new Bible in English or Spanish, or $110 blesses five children with the same special Christmas. Time is running out, so please consider going right now to Hugh Hewitt to make this Christmas memorable for a lonely child with mom or dad in prison through Hugh's Angel Tree campaign. Look, I've done it too. If you can get a lawyer of Scottish descent to write a check, okay, that is a cause. If I do it, you need to do it. I am an Army colonel, a retired one, but, you know, follow me. I'm going over the trench. Are you going to do it? Go to HughHewitt.com. Help make these innocent kids' Christmas a little brighter. Help give them a better future. You know, a lot of kids started out in tough conditions, and they overcame it. They overcame it with their own internal drive. They came it with the help of other people. And nobody sums that up better than one of my heroes, Herman Cain. From poor to CEO is the incredible true story of Herman Cain, where a man comes from a poor and undereducated family and reaches the highest level of corporate, social, and political America. It's available now at salemnow.com. On demand, $14.99. The DVD, $19.99, or on demand, and DVD, $29.99. Video on demand gives you unlimited viewings. Go check it out. I hear it's great. And you want to do it. Now, in my last segment, I gave a steaming help and a hard truth. We're probably going to have President Asterisk. So what do we do? Like I said, I'm a military guy. I fight the next battle. I fight the close battle, and then I fight the next battle one terrain feature over, and then several terrain features over. Got to fight multiple battles. We got to prep. And what we have to prepare for is an asterisk administration. I don't like it. I know you don't like it. But it's reality. Step one, win in Georgia. We have got to win in Georgia. And to that end, stick around, because at the bottom of the hour, we've got Jesse Hunt, National Republican Senatorial Committee Communications Director. And we're going to talk about Georgia, and we're going to talk about the murder turtle and his rampage of victory here on the Hugh Hewitt radio program. I am guest host Kurt Schlichter. Stick around. On the Hugh Hewitt radio program, focused like a laser beam on what the hell is going on down in Georgia. And to that end, we have Jesse Hunt, National Republican Senatorial Committee Communications Director. Jesse, I'm a military guy. Bottom line up front, are we going to win this thing in Georgia?
Absolutely. We feel incredibly confident right now.
So that's a yes.
Yeah,
absolutely. No beating around the bush, Jesse. We have got to take out both Fidel Warnock and this John Edwards II, electric boogaloo. Can I play you two quick cuts from Warnock? Two best ofs to kind of set the tone?
For sure.
All right. Cuts 9 and then 4.
We pray for the people of Cuba in this moment. We remember Fidel Castro, whose legacy is complex.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody tell you a simple story. Life usually isn't very simple. His legacy is complex. Kind of like America's legacy is complex. America, nobody can serve God and the military.
Jesse Hunt of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, are you beating these guys around the head with this stuff?
These comments are reprehensible. I don't think anyone who's experienced the Castro regime would ever classify it as being complex. It's pretty cut and dry that it was an oppressive regime. And the fact that Raphael Warnock runs around and has associated himself with these sort of comments, with extreme figures, is deeply problematic for mainstream voters in Georgia. And it's also something that his running mate, quote-unquote running mate, it's how Raphael Warnock has described John Ossoff, he has to answer for those comments as well. And I think this is why people have described them as one of the most extreme tickets to ever run in a joint Senate runoff.
Well, Jesse, you know, we have a very sophisticated audience here on the Hugh Hewitt radio program. I don't know why the heck they let me guest host, but they do. And here's what I want to know. How are we using this kind of information to beat their brains out? Because this stuff is devastating to the patriotic Americans of Georgia. I served in Columbus, Georgia, down at Fort Benning. And you know, the Georgians don't usually play this commie crap.
Absolutely. And we're taking this information directly to voters through a variety of means. We're obviously spending money in a paid capacity on, you know, television, digital, and such. But we're also running a presidential-level voter contact operation with over 1,000 field staff on the ground in Georgia, speaking directly with these voters and talking to them about what's at stake in this election, the need to vote for David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler on January 5th, because these two are the only things standing in the way of Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, AOC, and Bernie Sanders having free reign to push a socialist agenda in Congress. And if you listen to these comments from Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff, it's clear who they align themselves with. They're not out there looking to, you know, fight for, you know, working families in Georgia. They're looking to push an agenda that is, you know, from the radical left, the Hollywood liberals that are bankrolling a campaign, and the National Democrats that are invested and making sure that they can flip the Senate for them.
You know, Jesse Hunt, I'm a retired United States Army colonel, so I want to know chain of command. Who is in command of the operation in Georgia? Where does the buck stop? What is the name of that person?
Ultimately, it's David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. Those are the two candidates that are on the ballot right now. And those,
well, who's running the organization? They're not running the organization. They're out there shaking hands, kissing babies, and pointing out these communist weasels. What is the name of the person who's running the organization?
We have a very good team that's working together in unison. We have the NRSC, our chairman, Todd Young, who oversees our operation. You have the Georgia State Party chairman. And then you have the Perdue and Loeffler campaigns that are doing a tremendous job, you know, taking the fight directly to Democrats, pushing back on some of the false narratives that are out there, and clearly defining Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff as two extreme candidates that represent the far left's ambition of taking control of Congress and, quote unquote, changing America, to take a steel line from Chuck Schumer.
Well, when you have multiple organizations working, sometimes they end up not working in sync. How are you guys working to make sure that all these various organizations are using their resources in sync for one overall plan for victory?
We prepared for this potential scenario well before Election Day.
Nice.
I think that's a testament to the foresight of our organization and the two campaigns, knowing what might lie ahead, the fact that it could determine the control of the United States Senate. And so we prepared for this many weeks in advance, and that's why we're able to hit the ground running. We had the NRSC had folks on the ground prior to Election Day, readying the troops, if you will, to engage in this sort of fight. And the teams, the Loeffler and Perdue teams, have been, you know, laser focused on making sure that they deliver two wins for Republicans and we maintain control of the Senate. That's really what's critically at stake here. We do not want to give Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and AOC a blank check.
Well, we love to hear that you guys are on the ball. And here on the Hugh Hewitt radio program, frankly, we're a bunch of fanboys for Cocaine Mitch, the murder turtle, the majority leader. This guy, he's the Tony Montana of American politics. Please let us know, is Mitch McConnell personally involved in helping make this happen? Because if he is, it's going to make a lot of people out here smile.
Mitch McConnell is one of the savviest political strategists of our time. And
oh, he'll touch your throat. I love that guy.
And he's absolutely essential to you know, all functions on the Senate side, and he's one of our greatest assets. And I think the stamp he's left on our country will, you know, forever be a benefit to us and also to the Republican Party writ large, and what he's been able to do on judges, and the fact that he's been a guiding force for sound strategic campaign decisions over several cycles now. So we're very fortunate to have him, our chairman, Senator Young, and two senators, David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler, that are going to help deliver us a win on January 5th.
So you're telling us that the Senate Majority Leader is focusing his cold, steely eyes on victory in Georgia. That's going to make a lot of people here on the Hugh Hewitt radio program happy. Now, we had Senator Marsha Blackburn on last time I guest hosted, which I guess was last week. It's so early, you know, my mind blanks out over these things. But she said you guys had knocked on over a million doors and that you intended to knock on the door of every registered Republican and every registered independent in Georgia. Is that still the plan?
This is an incredibly aggressive presidential level voter contact operation that we're running down here. I think it's, you know, the factor of having a really strong team that was preparing for this sort of situation has allowed us to gain an advantage on Democrats. And listen, there's going to be, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars spent on TV. There's already been hundreds of millions of dollars spent on TV. So how can you operate around the margins to deliver a victory in a close race? It's going to the ground and communicating directly to these voters about what's at stake in this election. And I feel like our ground operation allows us to have that advantage. And, you know, we're going to see those, we're going to reap the benefits on January 5th, when it comes time to elect David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler.
Well, Jesse Hunt of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, I got to tell you, out here in outside the Beltway here in America, there are a lot of Republicans who are very concerned about the manifest irregularities that plagued the last election, including notably in Georgia. And many of us think the election was absolutely illegitimate because of a lot of the antics. What are the Republicans doing to ensure that there cannot be the kind of irregularities that we saw last time with mysterious vote ads and, you know, leaks and everybody's getting thrown out and can't watch? What are you guys doing to make sure they don't steal this election?
We've called for state party actually has called for monitors and observers for the entire signature matching process. So, you know, we're pushing very hard to make sure that we have that sort of access, that we can have a full and transparent election. David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler have been very, very clear in this, ensuring they want to make sure that we that every legal vote is cast and all illegal votes are not. They're thrown out. And another thing that I think is going to be part of this, you know, concerted effort to make sure that Republicans, you know, feel that this election was conducted in a free and transparent manner. There will be 4,000 poll watchers, and that number continues to grow on election day.
4,000 Republican poll watchers. Well,
correct.
It doesn't matter if they're poll watchers and they can't get in and actually watch the polls. And it doesn't matter if they can't get in and watch the counting. Have you guys prepared the battlefield by filing pre-election litigation? And again, I work for the president in Nevada, so I'm kind of familiar with this stuff. Have you guys filed suit already to ensure access to the counts and to ensure that signatures are matched properly?
Absolutely. David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler and the NRSC, we actually joined in a lawsuit pointing out some of the irregularities that occurred, that there was in 100 counties, there was zero ballots rejected because of signature matching. So some of these things that are irregular out there, we're fighting to make sure that they do not they're not replicated, these same problems don't exist.
Well, Jesse Hunt, National Republican Senatorial Committee, thank you. I'm feeling a little better about Georgia now. And you guys should feel good about the Hugh Hewitt radio program. And me, guest host Kurt Schlichter. Stick around. We got David Drucker coming up.
I'm a lonely reindeer. You know you're the master.
We're back on the Hugh Hewitt radio program, and since it is Christmas time, we've got a slightly evil Christmas bumper music. It sounds like Motorhead to me. I don't know. Normally, you would hear really scary music, and that would alert you to the fact that we're being joined by David Drucker, who's a senior writer at the Washington Examiner and the King of the Hill. David, Nancy Pelosi, she's got some trouble ahead, doesn't she?
Yeah, it's going to be really, really interesting to watch. I mean, first she has to get through the vote for Speaker, which I suspect she will, just because I don't think the progressives or the centrists want to cause a food fight, given everything else going on. But they're trying to run the House with a four-vote majority or a three-vote majority or even a seven-vote majority after the special elections are done for the departed House members of the Biden administration is very tricky, very difficult, and especially when you've got a lot of infighting, which she does right now. Progressives are going to be hungry for action with a Democratic White House. The centrists, we've already seen them push back on a lot of the messaging and policy that the progressives are into and were promoting during the 2020 campaign. And so she's going to have a real task on her hands.
Well, David Drucker, we're seeing Cedric Richmond and Marsha Fudge going out into the Biden administration. They come from safe Democrat districts. But how safe will they be? I mean, we've got redistricting coming up. In light of the last election and the firm conviction upon tens of millions of Americans, myself, who went and worked for the president in Nevada included, that irregularities probably shifted this election result. I don't think a lot of these Republican legislatures will be particularly merciful in their redistricting. Are the Democrats worried?
Well, look, when you're not in control of redistricting, you're always worried. But there's a lot of self-interest that goes into this because you're not going to, you know, find Republicans generally are not going to want to dilute the strength of their districts too much. So I would suspect that given the politics of Louisiana as it stands today, that Cedric Richmond's district is probably not going to be altered too much, and that it'll be that it will, in a special election, re-elect a Democrat. I suspect the same with the Fudge district. Your broader point about redistricting is that it could be very troublesome for Democrats. And, you know, I've joked with some Republicans when I talk to them that they could win the House majority on redistricting alone. But then we also have to see in some of these Republican-leaning states, do they gain districts? Do they lose districts? And this is a very sort of intricate, I mean, even before the age of computers, when I first started covering redistricting, it's a very intricate process where you're literally carving out blocks, you know, neighborhoods block by block to put them in the districts. And, you know, if you're not careful, sometimes you get, I don't want to say greedy like it's pejorative, but you get greedy, you want extra seats, you start diluting districts. And then, you know, 4 years later, or 2 years later, or 6 years later in a midterm, you wonder why you're losing. So, I think we'll have to see how each state decides to do this before making assumptions. We're going to need to see the maps.
Well, do you think that the Republicans may feel pressure to get particularly aggressive this time, based at least in part on what they consider to be a flawed election last November?
No, I don't. I just think they're going to be aggressive naturally. I don't think it's about pressure.
They don't need an incentive. They're going to go for blood one way or the other.
No, and look, I mean, I know how a lot of grassroots Republicans feel about this. I think most Republicans don't have a problem with the election because they gained 12 seats. They're poised to hold the Senate majority. And even though they wanted the White House, they don't look at this as an overall problematic election. It was, for down ballot Republicans, it was a big success.
Oh, I have to disagree with you, David Drucker. We look at this very, very negatively. The feeling out here, and of course you are from out here. You are not a Beltway native. The cold fury of the Republican base over what they see as a stolen election. And I'm not, and we don't need to relitigate it. I caught COVID litigating it last time. The simple fact is the Republicans are so angry they almost can't see straight about this. Now, we understand the down ballot stuff, and we understand we have to fight the next battle, which is 2022. But boy, you underestimate their anger at your peril. Let's move on to Georgia. Do you think the Republicans are going to win?
I do, and I just want to make clear, I understand what's going on out there. I'm talking about members of Congress
and
political insiders that are going to be dealing with redistricting.
Oh, understood. And nobody knows those guys better than you, which is why you're a perpetual guest here on Hugh Hewitt. Now, you said something I love to hear, music to my ears, and you wouldn't say it if you didn't mean it. You'd give us the tough truth. Why do you think the Republicans are going to win in Georgia?
Well, I think, number one, because Joe Biden's going to be the next president, and I think that's very motivating. And when you're looking at the fact that losing these two seats would hand the keys to the car, to the Democratic Party for the next 2 years, I think that's a very motivating factor. And it could be the sort of thing where Democrats are motivated if they just had a big historic victory and they just aren't inclined to show up. But overall, I think...
Well, thank you, David Drucker, the Washington Examiner. I'm guest host Kurt Schlichter. Stick around on the Hugh Hewitt radio program. We've got Byron York coming up at the top of the hour.
Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. The 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.